Good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville this morning. I just want to welcome you in the powerful name of Jesus. I would like to welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us and welcome those who are worshiping along with us on the live stream. Receive this call to worship from Psalms 100. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for Yahweh is God, and his love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. Praise God this morning. Worship him with all of your heart. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you to praise you for your unfailing love, your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy. Thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross that he made for us. As we come to worship you this morning, fill us to full and overflowing with your Spirit. We want to experience you. Open our hearts and minds and souls to your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn it over to the worship team.
I'm going to invite you all to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
Thank you. Offering for today is for the Pastoral Support Fund.
Shine in the shadow, you win every battle. thank you that you are here in our midst. We thank you that you care and love us, and we thank you for Jesus who loved us enough to go to the cross for our sin. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together to worship and praise you. Father, we thank you for your blessings, and we offer a portion back to you for your work. We pray for the work of the pastors here, and I lift up Brian Horst today as he brings our message to us, as he brings your message to us. Father, bless the work you are doing and will do through him. We thank you again for this time as we offer up our worship and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace to forgive. I believe. Yeah.
for this morning, just that we can all be here together to worship you. And just, yeah, pray for Brian this morning, that you would speak through him, that you would just give us your message this morning that we need to hear. Amen.
Got me, Jeff? Okay. Well, good morning. This morning, all the kids can come front. You kids scare Brian, so he asked me to give the children's message. So, all the children, come on front. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How many of you like to act? You know what I mean when I say act? Like when somebody says, act like a clown, you can act like a clown, or can you act funny? You don't have to do it now, but do you like to act? Well, this morning, our children's story, we're going to act it out. So, let me read you the verses, and then we'll go from there. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 14 says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first, as has just been said. So what that was saying was, we are supposed to encourage each other every day. And we are not supposed to give in to the deceitfulness of sin or the devil. So I need one volunteer. You come up here with me. Okay. Now let's see if we can untangle this thing here. I should have been a little smarter. You hold that. Okay. Thank you very much. Now, wait. Yep, you grab that end. Now, this is what happens, or how many of you have ever seen a tug of war? You have? So, you, yeah, I believe that. Yes. So we're going to try tug of war here. What is your name?
Adam.
Adam. Adam is going to tug of war against me. And I am what you would call the world or Satan. And this is what happens sometimes when we try and do everything by ourselves. So go ahead. You try and you pull me. That'd be a little embarrassing if I couldn't hold him. Okay. Thank you. Now you can sit down. My purpose for that is, in the Bible here it said, we are supposed to encourage each other every day. So when you're at school and out and about and you see somebody that's just down or depressed or not feeling good, when we encourage them or try and build them up, do you know what happens? We end up grabbing the rope and helping them pull. So, I want all of you to come up here. Everybody grab a hold of the rope. Okay, well. Okay, you help me. Okay, you all have a hold over there?
Yeah.
No, bring the tail end that way. So we don't hurt them. Okay, now wait, we forgot one thing yet. When we encourage each other and help each other out, we are connecting what God wants. God is coming into us, because that's what we are asked to do. When we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, that gives us access to God. So, Brian, can you come front here? You just hold that end. Now, can you come down here? You come here? And each of you slide down. And this end here? You give the big dude.
The big dude.
Now, When we accepted Jesus Christ and he died on the cross for our sins, we have Jesus in us, which is God. So when we encourage people and help others and show love, that gives us access to God. So God always wins. So now you have all of your friends, plus you have God trying to help you pull. Now, do you just want to try and pull us and see if you can pull us? Are you pulling? Okay. You can stop. You can let it down. Okay. You can all sit down again. Now they're saying they could have towed us around the church yet. So what I want you to understand this morning is when you see somebody that is sad or needs some encouragement, when you come alongside them and you help them, you're helping pull them to the good side of life. And you're doing what God has told you to do. That is showing love. So thank you for helping me out. I'm going to have a prayer for you, and then I'll give you a snack, okay? So let's just pray. Father, I thank you for each child that's here this morning. Father, their seed and their roots are small yet, but I just pray that as we as a congregation here would be able to water and nourish these seeds so that they can grow and be children for you. May we as adults be imitators of that so that they can see it in our own lives. I also just pray, Father, that each one of these children would come to know you and know that you are a God of life and humor and just that you're always there for us. So thank you and praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, before you get the snack, a long time ago, I told you what my favorite snack is. Does anybody remember what that was? No. Do you remember what for animal I like? No. What? No. You don't remember? No. I like cows. Do you know what kind of candy you can get that represents a cow? Okay. I'll bring them down. No.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Last week, Larry finished up a whole series on spiritual warfare. They were going through the book by Dean Sherman that is Spiritual Warfare. Great book. I read it myself, really enjoyed it. The week before that, I led worship. And quite honestly, I experienced my own spiritual warfare throughout that whole week. I actually really thought while we practiced, while we played the whole thing, I really thought I sounded horrible. John, Jeff, they were okay, you know, but no, I'm just kidding. They sounded really good. But I really felt like that whole morning, I just felt like I just sounded really bad. I was thankful I got a few compliments afterwards, which I do appreciate, and I just thought those compliments were more of an encouragement than anything else. And it was then Monday morning, I believe it was, that I watched the service on YouTube, and I listened to it, and I was like, you know what, that actually doesn't sound that bad. It sounded a lot better than I thought it did that morning. But that's what Satan does, okay? He gets in our heads and he makes us feel like we are even worse than we already are. He gets right in your ear and he just tells you how bad you are and you're not good enough. Now, personally, I'm not this amazing guitar player who's going to perform some solo for 3 hours or like an amazing singer that's just going to capture everyone's attention. I just strum my guitar and hopefully no one gets tired of it. But when Satan puts the thought in your head, or he puts it in my head, that I don't sound good, it makes me want to give up. Even for the past few months, I've been debating on just giving up music completely. There's just other things I'd rather be doing. But through the battle I had last week, I realized I need to keep playing music because Satan doesn't want me to do it. It's a gift that God has given me. And every gift that God gives us is to further his kingdom. It's to do his will here on earth. Satan goes against that, so we won't further God's kingdom. Satan doesn't want us to follow him. He has nothing to offer us. He just wants to destroy us and everyone else. God gives each one of us this gift, any kind of gift. We all have different gifts, whatever they are, but we need to use that gift to help others come to know God in some way. What I want to look at this morning is the story of Cain and Abel. That is Genesis 4. I'm going to start in verse 2, the second half of verse 2. I'm going to start with, the second half of verse 2. It says, "Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, would you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin crouches at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule it, rule over it.' Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?' 'I don't know,' he replied. 'Am I my brother's keeper?'" Understand, God gave Abel the gift of keeping flocks and Cain the gift of working the ground. The scripture doesn't say why God gave Cain the ability to work the ground and Abel the ability to be a shepherd. But I also want to look at Genesis chapter 3, 17 to 19. Which I think, is right there. This is where God curses Adam. In 17 it says, "To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." God gave Cain the ability to grow food. He could share that with his family. That is something they need to survive. Obviously, we cannot live without some kind of food. This is what we all need to do, is share our gifts, whatever they are. We need to share them with others. Cain was upset because God didn't look at his offering with favor. The only thing Cain would have needed to do was ask either his brother or God what he needed to do so that God would accept his offering. The problem is, that means he would have had to admit he was wrong and he needed help. And instead of doing that, he killed his brother. Think about this. Have you ever been somewhere that people were praising God? Maybe here at church or at a tent meeting or wherever, but they were raising their hands. they were maybe waving flags or dancing. They had their eyes closed, and they were just feeling it. They were into it. Meanwhile, you could barely stand up. Do you go to those people and ask them, why do you do these things? Why do you raise your hands? Why do you dance? Why do you wave flags? Do you ask them? Do you go to God and ask Him, should I do those things? Or do you explain to yourself why those people look foolish? Just point your finger and laugh. They look foolish. And then explain to yourself, the way I do it is fine. I don't need to change. I'm okay. They look foolish. Everything's okay. This is just an example. But we all have times where we feel someone is doing it better than us, whatever it is. We just feel like they're doing it better. But it's all that we need to go do. All that we need to do is go and ask that person why they're doing it that way and how we could do it that way. But it's easier for us to put that other person down than to admit we might be wrong or to ask for help. It's easier to kill them. But what I want you to understand this morning is all of that is Satan. God isn't concerned about how we do it, but why we do it. The scripture says, Abel gave fat portions of the firstborn. He gave the best he had to offer. Do we give our best to God? Do we give our best to anyone? A very important thing for us to remember is that every single person you see, every day of your life, every single place you go, is a child of God. Simply put, everyone that's on this planet and even in those space stations, everyone is a child of God. Having faith doesn't make you more of a child or even a better child. God loves all of us equally. When you put your faith in Christ, you believe He is God and He took God's wrath from you. He took your punishment. He didn't simply cover it, but He took your place. Now you can have a relationship with God, not because of anything you have done other than choosing to have faith, but because of everything Christ has done. That is the difference between having faith and not having faith. So I want you to think of all those people you see, whether it's in real life or on TV, wherever it is, all those people you think are horrible, disgusting people, and understand you are the same as them. Quite honestly, the next time you see someone that's a homosexual, they're a child of God, and you are no better than they are. Next time you see even Joe Biden, remember, he's a child of God. Does that mean you have to agree with everything people do? No, of course not. But it does mean you need to love them. Jesus says, hate the sin, not the sinner. So, do not judge them and gossip about others. Sharing facts is sharing facts. Things do happen. But telling someone else what someone else told you that they heard from someone else, that's not a fact. Talking about something stupid someone did is gossip. All that does is downgrade something. All that does is downgrade someone or make them look worse than they already do. Loving them is praying for them. You don't need to pray a specific prayer. You might not even know what they need. Just lift them up to God. He knows everything about them. I challenge you. The next time you walk into a gas station or a grocery store, pray for every single person in that place. You don't need to look around and see every person. God knows them all. He knows exactly what they need. Imagine you are putting a prayer into their prayer jar. Imagine that every single one of us is holding a prayer jar. Wow, that did get on there. I wonder how that happened. I didn't realize that was on there, so that's cool. Okay, this is what I meant to get to. So this, imagine we're holding this, an empty prayer jar. And every time you pray, you're putting a prayer into this person's prayer jar. Just like a homeless person asking for money, we are all in need of more prayer. Maybe your prayer will fill up that prayer jar. Remember, we are all in a spiritual battle. And the example that Rick just gave this morning of pulling the rope, that's a great example. We are literally in a tug of war. For those who don't have faith, that is for the unbeliever, quite honestly, they're barely holding on to the rope. They just have it in their hands. And Satan is, he's not even worried about them. They're right where he wants them to be, so they're just there with the rope in their hand and kind of just standing there. But as soon as that person takes one little step toward God, Satan yanks on that rope as hard as he possibly can. And everything goes wrong. Then things start to fall apart and they wonder, why would God do this? But it's not God, it's Satan. The question is, why would God allow this? If we didn't need help, we would never turn to God. God doesn't want to see us go through terrible things, but he does want to be part of our life. The believer has their hands held tight around the rope, and they have Jesus as their anchor man. Rick just used me as an example for an anchor man. This is an anchor man right here, okay? This is what we have. We have Jesus at the end of our rope. He is our anchor man. He has that rope tied around his waist, and he guarantees you can't lose. Our biggest problem is we try to pull that rope ourselves. We don't need help. We can do this. Yeah. Believe it or not, prayer actually helps us become weaker, so God will become stronger, and we will have other Christians helping us pull the rope. Then Satan will get tired, and he will give up. But then when we're just not paying attention, he yanks that rope real hard just to get our attention away from God. Just about that time, everything's going real well in life, and you just feel good, and you're content, things are going well, and you just stop paying attention for that brief second. That's when Satan just takes that rope, and he yanks it, and all of a sudden, everything falls apart. But hopefully that backfires. Satan pulls that rope to turn your attention away from God, but hopefully it does backfire. And it actually brings you closer to God. Your relationship with God will get stronger, and also your relationship with other Christians. Hopefully that's what happens. Please, don't ever be afraid to ask for help. We all need it. We are all weak, and we can all use all the help we can get. But no one knows we need help if we don't ask. And we give Satan a lot more credit than he deserves. As a Christian, we have tug of wars on all sides of us in every part of life. And they are all because of evil. That is because of what Satan did in the beginning. Satan can only be in one place at one time. So quite honestly, the majority of our battles are with ourselves. It's our flesh, or the evil within us. Then we have the world that tries to pull us in another direction, or we have all these things around us that influence us in negative ways. There are all kinds of wars we have. And then God is in a tug of war with us. He wants to help, but we keep pushing him away. God wants to pull our rope and lift us up above everything and give us a whole new perspective. whoops, where is it? There it is. He wants to give us a brand new perspective. Actually, I did want to read this. This is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He will pull you up above life just enough to give you that whole new perspective of things. But our problem is we want to stay in the world and do what everybody else is doing, just like the Israelites did. They wanted what everybody else wanted. They wanted to be just like all the other people, all the other kingdoms. But the more we allow God to pull our rope, the more wisdom and knowledge we will receive. So stop living in the world and allow God to show you things in a whole new way. Prayer is loving and helping others. Again, don't be afraid to ask for help. And maybe your prayer will fill someone else's prayer jar. And then God will move in major ways in their life. God wants us to pray for each other because it shows how much we love each other. We have that opportunity to show our love to people by praying for them and filling their prayer jar. Love them because they are a child of God. You shouldn't need any other reason. That's why God loves us. He doesn't love us because we love him or because we have faith or because of all the good we do or how much we praise him or anything else. We are his children and he loves us. Don't get me wrong. God enjoys all of those things. He loves to see those things. But he loves us because we are his. The question is, can we love each other and stop killing each other? Fill up everyone's prayer jar and ask them to fill up yours. Then this tug of war we go through, every tug of war that we go through will go a lot smoother. Please, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Don't be afraid to ask. Every single one of us is wrong. The first step is admitting we're wrong. The second step is asking for help. Fill up that prayer jar. Get that honey flowing. Get into the land of milk and honey. Things go a lot smoother when you have people around to help you and allow God to show you the way. So let us pray. Father, this morning we just come to you. We just ask you to break us completely, that we just surrender to you in every area of our life. We ask for your help. We ask for the help of those around us. We just ask that you move in our life and show us a new way to do things. Give us a new perspective. Help us allow you to do the things you want to do in our life. Too many times we push you away. This morning I just asked that each one of us would pull you closer. Make us weaker so you can be stronger, Father. Show us, guide us, direct us in your ways. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Very quickly this morning, I just want to make an announcement. Next Sunday, the 17th, we're going to have another prayer meeting with St. Paul's. That is going to be at St. Paul's, at the church right there by the park. We're going to meet at 7 o'clock. It's going to be from 7 to 8. They are going to be leading it. It's going to be another great time to have our congregations come together and just have a time of prayer. So please come out for that. Colin Svanna, I invite you back up.
Nothing other.
Many of you got a prayer chain Friday night to pray for Christy, and many of you don't know who Christy is. I want to just give you a little bit of an update. Christy, we met her out at when Flowing Waters had the Community Family Fun Day. She lives here in Bowmansville. Her one daughter, Nadia, is involved in the before and after. Through our talking with her out at Bowmansville, we found out she had to have a surgery. I'm not going to go into all the depths of it. But she started coming out to Flowing Waters, and we told her we'd support her. Flowing Waters would support her in prayers and whatever she needed. She just had to ask us for it. And so we prayed over her the one Tuesday night, and she has never gone to church. She has never had any Christian background, but she said she's willing to try Jesus, and that was enough for me. So she went in for her surgery this past Wednesday, and during the surgery, they were finished with the surgery, and they had closed everything up, and her blood started clotting, so they had to go back in again. It was a back and forth all week long. It ended up Friday afternoon, she ended up, her blood clotted again after everything was going so well. So she went back into surgery Friday mid-morning, and it was, just hold on, let me check here just so I don't mess things up here. Yesterday around 8 o'clock, Brian would have got a text from her aunt, Pat. Pat, right? Brian, yeah. Nothing changed much. She's still in critical condition. Not sure what's going to happen. Backing up Wednesday afternoon, they did have to amputate her one leg from just below her knee. So I would ask you as a congregation, one of the things Brian and I and Julie Weber has been with us praying a lot for her and her family. They live, if you go out through Bowmansville, just as you go past right where you turn to go into the development, there's a big barn right out against the road. Her dad's name is Rick. I don't know if anybody knows her aunt is Pat. Where the big barn is, there's two houses in the back. Christy and her two daughters, Kaylee and Nadia, live there with her aunt. So if there's anybody that wants to send a card or a letter to her, if you want to put it in my mailbox, I don't have an address yet, and I don't understand what all is going on yet, but if you want to write a letter or something of encouragement to her, put it in my mailbox, and we'll make sure Pat gets it so she can take it out to York Hospital where Christy is. So thank you, and just keep them in your prayers.
Well, I think it'd be appropriate right now that we pray for Christy. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Christy said she wants to give you a try. And it seems like the enemy is really attacking and winning right now. Father, put a hedge of protection around Christy. I pray for healing. I pray for spiritual healing. I pray that you would move in a mighty way and just speak to Christy's heart. Even though her leg had to be partially amputated, Lord, I just pray that you would move in a way that she can see that you were there, taking care of her, that you were protecting her, and that you were watching over her. This is going to be a long road of recovery, Father. I just pray that you would move in people's hearts, move in your church so we can rise up and step out and help. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I knew when Rick was up here earlier that the odds of him having something to do with a cow would pop up, and he had cow tails, so it came through in the snack and not necessarily the story, but I figured that would happen. Thank you for your challenge this morning, Brian. And definitely as we step out for Jesus, we face spiritual battles because the enemy doesn't want us to stand for Christ. Every time I give a message, before or after, there's always a spiritual battle. And when you're facing a spiritual battle, you know you're doing what Christ should be, Christ wants you to do. Because the enemy wouldn't mess with you if you weren't doing what Jesus wanted you to do. Thank you for the challenge, Brian, that we need to go to God and others and humble ourselves and ask for help. Whew, that is tough to do, to ask for help. And that we need to view other people as God's children, especially when they cut you off in traffic or just make you angry by their comments they make and things like that. We need to just remember that they are God's children and that we need to be praying for them. I'd like to pray for our meal now, and then I'll have the benediction. I do have some instructions. You go through the overflow, down the stairs, my left, your right. If you need help with the lift, please see me. I'll help you. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the food that has been prepared for us. I just pray that you would bless the hands that have made it. I pray that the youth group will be blessed so that they can go to Alaska. I just pray that while they're there, their hearts would be changed and they would see you in a new way, that your Holy Spirit would move in their hearts as they go on this service project coming up. Just bless our bodies this morning with this food. In Jesus' name, amen. So will you stand for the parting benediction? May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God bless you. You're dismissed.